Good morning. Annyeong haseyo. A warm welcome if you're visiting for the first time. Tea and coffee will be served in the Mayo Hall between the two morning services. And we welcome Bruce Stewart here this morning, who's leading our service. Thank you. Pastoral news. Olive Springham will be going to Romania this week, and we wish her safe journeys and look forward to reading about her time there in the church news. Maddie, our newest member, has got shingles. Fran O'Brien has died. She was a long-time friend of this church through her work with the Yadapur, which was a weekly art event for young people held in the hall. And her artwork has also been exhibited in this church. The church handbook is available for collection. It is in the vestibule at the back of this church. Two bits of advanced news in advance. The bank holiday walk, which will be on Monday the 4th of May. This time we'll meet at Little Bookham Community Hall at 10 minutes to 10. Georgina Forbes, who is at the back, is your contact for that. It's a new walk, and it's only 4 miles long, and it's beautiful, it says. Thank you. And then, just 5 days later, back here at the church, there's the Christian Aid quiz night. But before then, on Saturday, there's our Cayley as well, which is here at the church, and the tickets cost £10, for which you will get a chance to dance, to eat, and to speak. And finally, Liz Bartlett would like to say something.
Well, just a bit of good news. We had a very successful lunchtime recital on Thursday here this week. Some of you were there and so supported it, and thank you for coming. We had at least 70 people, possibly nearer 80, which was a very good number, to hear Laura Duckling, who's a pupil of Anita Keir, who volunteers on Mondays, I think, in the foyer. It was a really lovely occasion. There were a couple of rows of Laura's friends from Tiffin School in here, which was lovely to have them. People from all over the place came, and it was a really very nice community event. So we look forward to our next lunchtime recital.
Words from the Apostle Paul in the 6th chapter of the letter to the Romans. Do you not know that all of you who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For we have been united with him in a death like his. we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. If we have died with Christ, we believe we will live with him. You must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let us respond by singing together our first hymn, hymn 422, Lift High the Cross, the Love of Christ Proclaim. Please note that we will be singing the first four verses only. Took up his throne. Lift high the cross of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Sin's deadly bond, which sealed our total to the cross. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise you for the wonder of raising your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, from death. In the mystery of your being and nature, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you, all of you, your whole being experienced the pain and anguish of the cross. We give thanks that you were not distant, far away from all that, kept separate so that your purity might not be violated by the worst people could do and can do to their fellow human beings. Nor were you willing to deign to turn your attention back to us only when a sufficiently high payment was deposited in a heavenly account to pay for our sins. You were there on Good Friday. You felt it all. You were using the cross as the ultimate, the most, the only way to reconcile us to you on and through the cross. Lord our God, we thank you also for being with us when life deals us a bitter blow. Worry overwhelms us, or sorrow robs us of love and consolation and being able to feel at ease or at home anywhere. We thank you that in the appearance of your Son as risen Lord, his disciples began to grasp that he was alive, and that led to good things happening to them, hope reborn, compassion reawakened, purpose and dedication in living being rekindled in their hearts and minds. Living and loving God, we pray that the experiences of Jesus' disciples may be ours, and that as we worship together, we may begin to experience the healing of deep wounds and the blessing of your Holy Spirit. May we experience and receive what the risen Christ announced to his disciples. Peace be upon you. May our hearing of scriptures and the opportunity in this safe, calm context of public worship do something extraordinary. May it change our minds. May it change our lives. By your grace, by which you raised your Son from death, may it be that we become witnesses to him, and in the way we live our lives, agents of your transforming and renewing love, to the glory of your great and wonderful name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now let us pray together the prayer which our Lord has taught us. We pray together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, it's very nice to be with you here again and seeing lots of familiar faces, and greetings to those of you who I haven't had the opportunity to meet before. Nice to be here again. We all know what it's like to work on a jigsaw puzzle and to be quite successful at that eventually, and you get eventually to the point there's maybe only 10 or 12 pieces left, and then you've got the whole picture. I happen to enjoy generally, week by week, hearing news stories that are science-related. Because somehow it seems to me that if there's a story which is science-related, that each new interesting thing that one hears about in science, it's like you're getting closer to the whole picture being filled in. And I find that fascinating. So I want to ask you whether any of you have recently heard any science-related news stories that have stuck in your mind. When that happens to me, I usually make the point a little bit later on at my computer, going on the internet, and printing out the news story and filing it away. I've got different sort of categories that I'm particularly interested in, so I make sure that I remember the things. But if I were to say genes and genetics, has anyone happened to hear any news stories recently? Anything to do with genes and genetics? Yes. Wasn't that shocking? There was a survey of 2,000 mostly middle-aged Caucasians. My wife is Welsh, as some of you know, so it was really kind of fun to discover that there's no one United Nations of Wales. You're right, the people in North Wales are not genetically related to the people in South Wales. It really put the cat amongst the pigeons because it showed that the Scots genetically were not related to any other Celts, including, you know, anyone from Wales. In fact, the Scots genetically were closer related to English people in northern England. Well, how about that? And the people in North Wales were genetically closer to people in Yorkshire. That really confuses everything. What I found fascinating was that people in Cornwall, Devon, and Dorset, each of those areas were quite separate genetically. Quite amazing. So wasn't that an interesting story? Anything else in science-related things? Yes? Wow! My! Good heavens. That's amazing. I was... say anything to do with the Large Hadron Collider? Has anyone heard any news recently about that? That started up again. And it was a member of this congregation about a year or so ago that told me that when it had been discovered that finally, the Higgs boson particle... it was a member of this congregation who told me that for many years it wasn't known as the Higgs boson particle. It was known in connection with another astrophysicist who is the treasurer of the Richmond Green United Reformed Church, Tom Kibble. It was known as the Higgs-Kibble particle. I mean, you know, we all knew that he was involved in astrophysics, but that was pretty amazing. So they've started up again, and do you know what else they're looking for? Not the Higgs boson this time. They're looking for more of those, but they're looking for something else as well. Dark matter, this thing. You know, people have calculated how much material there is in the whole universe, and it cannot all be accounted for. There must be something called dark matter. So there we are. So I love these sort of stories because it feels like the jigsaw puzzle is being filled in. Now, we get very excited, quite rightly, at this time of the year because it's the season of Eastertide. And with the appearance of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, it seemed like the whole picture had been filled in. The whole picture concerning Jesus was now complete. People didn't fully understand his nature. Even his closest friends, the disciples, didn't always understand. And now the picture was complete. And their sense of the whole Bible became complete. The whole jigsaw of the Bible now made sense and held together in Christ and in light of Christ. And more exciting as that, their whole lives as a jigsaw puzzle now made sense in Christ. So we celebrate at any time of the year, but it's particularly exciting to celebrate at this time of the year, the resurrection of Christ. We're going to sing together again now, 572, Colors of Day, Dawn into the Mind. Colors of day dawn into the mind. The day has begun, the night is behind. Go down in the city, into the street, and let's give the peepers to the people we meet. So light up the fire, let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of the Spirit, let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus, let his love sure grow. Go through the park, on into the town. The sun still shines on, it never goes down. The light of the world is risen again. The people of darkness are needing our friend. So light up the fire, let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his Spirit, let the fruit grow. Tell the people of Jesus that his love show. Open your eyes and into the darkness has come. The sun came to die. The evening draws on, the sun disappears. But Jesus is living, his Spirit is here. So light up the fire, let the flame burn. Open the door, let Jesus return. Take seeds of his Spirit, let the fruit grow. Take the seal of Jesus, let his love show. And we hear now in succession the two readings from Scripture, right? A little pause here. Two readings of Scripture, as you will see, read in succession. A reading from Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 34, being read by Pat Brooks. And then a reading from the Gospel, Luke 24, beginning at verse 36, read by Jane Townsend.
Peter began to speak. I now realize that it's true that God treats everyone on the same basis. Those who worship him and do what is right are acceptable to him, no matter what race that they belong to. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know of the great event that took place throughout the land of Israel, beginning in Galilee, after John preached the message of baptism. You know about Jesus of Nazareth, and how God poured out on him the Holy Spirit and power. He went everywhere, doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the land of Israel and in Jerusalem. Then they put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him up from death 3 days later and caused him to appear not to everyone, but only to the witnesses that God had already chosen. That is, to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from death. And he commanded us to preach the gospel of the people to the people, and to testify that he is the one whom God has appointed judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets spoke about him, saying that all who believed in him will have their sins forgiven through the power of his name. While Jesus was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came down on all those who were listening to his message. The Jewish believers who had come from Joppa with Peter were amazed that God had poured out his gift of the Holy Spirit onto the Gentiles also, for they heard them speaking in strange tongues and praising God's greatness. Jesus spoke up. These people have received the Holy Spirit, just as we did. Can anyone then stop them from being baptized with water? So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then he asked him to stay, they asked him to stay with them for a few days.
This reading comes from Luke 24, verses 36 to 49. Jesus appears to his disciples. While the two were telling them this, suddenly the Lord himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were terrified, thinking that they were seeing a ghost. But he said to them, "Why are you alarmed? Why are these doubts coming up into your minds? Look at my hands and my feet and see that it is I, myself. Feel me and you will know. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see, I have." He said this and showed them his hands and his feet. They still could not believe. They were so full of joy and wonder. So he asked him, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of cooked fish, which he took and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are the very things I told you about while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses, the writings of the prophets, and the Psalms had to come true." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Suffer. This is what is written. The Messiah must suffer and must rise from death 3 days later. And in his name, the message about repentance and the forgiveness of sins must be preached to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things, and I myself will send upon you what my Father has promised. But you must wait in the city until the power from above comes down upon you." Here ends the reading.
We sing together the hymn 485, "Almighty Father of All Things That Be." work and all our past may be a sacrifice acceptable to thee. Something is meant to happen to us as we worship together on the Lord's Day. We are in the season of Eastertide, a time particularly to remind ourselves that Christians began worshiping on this day of the week, Sunday, to commemorate the day of the Lord's rising. Sabbath day was Saturday. Christians began to worship on this day. As we worship together, some things are meant to happen to us, things that are good. And so the usual pattern of worship, as you know, is a kind of preparation to hear the Word of God read from the Scriptures, hopefully something useful said in the sermon, and so on. We go through some kind of process, and at the end we are meant to be changed in some way. All of this is meant to have some kind of good effect on your faith. It will be different for each of us in a different kind of way. It may feel that we have been brought more fully alive as a result of worshiping together. You may have a sense of your hope being reawakened as a result of all this. And if only this, it may just be that you will hear something which is interesting, which adds a little bit of depth, a little bit of color to what you already believe. If only for that reason, the process of worship, one hopes, is beneficial. Well, here's something to begin with. Think of Luke, writer of the Gospel of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, at least among many things, as being a good historian. Those who know about these things tell us that when you look at the words that the Apostle Peter speaks in that speech we heard in our first reading, that the words betray a lot of Aramaic-isms. It seems to be the kind of thing that someone who naturally as a first language spoke Aramaic, those sort of words were being used, albeit translated into Greek. In other words, it looks as if Luke has faithfully recorded something Peter said on that occasion when he was with the Gentile Cornelius, either because Luke actually met with Peter or because of the ways in which people were able to remember and pass on oral bits of history to one another in one way and another. It sounds as if when we read that passage from Acts chapter 10, we may be having a pretty accurate record of the things that were said by the lips of Peter. And what Peter does is to sum up the whole of Jesus' ministry. And that's, in a way, quite significant, in a way that I hope to suggest in a moment. He begins all the way back with the baptisms of John. He talks about the whole of Jesus' ministry, and then goes right on, of course, to speak of the death and resurrection of Christ. You may have heard one of the phrases. One of the things that Peter says is, Jesus went about doing good. Now, there is such a thing as people being steeped in the Bible as part of their upbringing. And if people have been steeped in the Bible, sometimes particular phrases take seed and take root. And throughout the whole of their lives, people may carry around with them maybe just two or three phrases that they've heard from the Bible that really mean a lot to them. And so it is with that phrase, Jesus went about doing good. Among people who've been steeped in the Bible, I've heard that phrase quoted back at me, something which for some people really makes sense. It gives them a sense of justification in their own way of trying to do good however they might try to do that in their lives. I've heard people who are involved in politics say, I am involved in politics as a Christian because, like Jesus, I want to do good, taking inspiration from that phrase. I've heard people who've been involved in voluntary organizations and charitable organizations. They may not be able to remember where that phrase comes from. Jesus went about doing good, but it has lodged in their minds and it has guided them. There are at least two other things I want to point out about Peter's speech. One I've already anticipated. He talks about the whole of Jesus' ministry. I think that's quite significant because there can be a tendency for our faith to focus either on one aspect of Jesus or another. When we are in Lent and the season of Eastertide, quite rightly, we focus on the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But for some people, that becomes the sole focus of their understanding of the nature of Christ, so much so that they don't have too much understanding of the content of the things Jesus said during his ministry. And the name of Jesus becomes a kind of magic talisman. Jesus is worshipped and glorified and praised, and that's a wonderful thing in worship. But to the extent that that really only becomes the focus, that becomes completely divorced from anything actually Jesus said. And on the other hand, there are many very good Christians who seem somehow to skip over the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ because what seems to matter to them exclusively are the various things that Jesus said, and they find their inspiration so that Jesus becomes for them something like a wise person or a good person. And the two things become divorced one from another. And that's the great thing about what Peter says. He talks about the whole compass of the significance of Jesus from his baptism through all that happened in his life and also his crucifixion and resurrection. Here's the second thing I want to draw attention to in Peter's speech. There can be a kind of division, generally speaking, amongst Christians between evangelical Christians and liberal Christians. It's a kind of elephant in the room. Now, to those of us who consider ourselves as sort of liberal theologians, it is really helpful for us to notice something that really hits you between the eyes in this passage. And it's all about the Holy Spirit, which cannot be somehow rushed over in this passage. Peter says about Jesus, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. The lectionary for this morning cuts off at a certain point, and I insisted that the reading carry on to the end of this little episode, because at the end of this episode, the Holy Spirit falls on all of those who are in the room with power, and they are baptized, though they are Gentiles. And so it comes about that Peter says, in order to sum up what has happened, now I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but that in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. And when Luke comes to write his gospel, so we have our gospel reading for this morning, one of the resurrection appearances of Christ. The disciples certainly go through a very dramatic process of transformation as a result of that encounter. And that's why I began the sermon by suggesting that for us as well, as we worship, something should happen to us. Some things should happen to us. It should be an experience which somehow changes us. And that's going to be different for each one of us on any given Sunday. For some, as I've suggested, it may only be that things that we hear add a little bit of depth and color to what we already understand about the Bible. But on other Sundays, there may be people who have come to church and they are already, for good reasons, on a high. A couple preparing for a wedding, or a couple who are, or grandparents for that matter, who are expecting the birth of a child imminently. They are already on a high, and it could be for them the things that they experience in a worship service this morning or any other morning just reinforces the high that they are already on. It is almost always the case with any congregation that some people present on a Sunday morning are going through a low spot in their lives. And if the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ are spoken of sensitively, that can quietly bring consolation and reassurance to people who are going through a low spot in their lives. For many of us, having an ordinary week, an ordinary time, the purpose or the effect of worship could just be that we focus for a little bit, particularly on Jesus, focusing on the things that are most important in our lives. And in that sense, we feel grounded in life, and we feel rooted, brought back to reality by focusing on Christ. Luke, as it happens, uses language which reinforces what I've been trying to talk about, a sense of something going on in the minds of the disciples. He uses lots of mind-related words. The Greek word for mind is nous, N-O-U-S, or in the adjective, noon, N-O-U-N, nous, noon. There are lots of words like that in this particular passage. There are lots of different feeling words used in this passage. Let me just highlight some of them. Verse 37, Luke tells us the disciples were startled and terrified. That in verse 38, Jesus says, why are they frightened? Why do doubts arise in your mind? And a few verses later, Luke writes, in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. Lots of mind-related words. They were going through some sort of an amazing experience. They're startled, terrified, frightened, feeling doubts, full of joy and wonder. To try to make sense of all of this, one of the translations, the Revised English Translation, simply says, uses a familiar English phrase, it seemed too good to be true. Luke is using a lot of mind-related words. There's a commentator called Mark Davis, and he has emphasized what's going on by using a very, very strange overemphasis in a literal translation. Here's how it goes. Jesus made open-minded their mind to the like-mindedness of the scriptures. So not only were their minds becoming focused on Christ, but he in turn, as we heard in the reading, led them to think about getting into the mindset of the scriptures in order for them to understand that the scriptures all along had been leading to this. Jesus made open-minded their mind to the like-mindedness of the scriptures. And the main point, as you heard, was the Messiah should suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. So the reality for us is that we go through some kind of process as a result of worship. It could be that, you know, the disciples, their thoughts to begin with were all over the place. I've drawn attention to the range of feelings they were having. Their minds were all over the place. You know, no minister likes to admit the fact that during the course of a sermon, I'm looking at you all very carefully, You know, it could be that in the course of a sermon, you don't follow every word, you know, that falls from my lips from beginning to end. It could be that your mind wanders. What a terrible thought. Ministers would lose their confidence if they thought that was happening the whole time they were preaching. Well, the disciples were going through all kinds of range of feelings. Maybe seeing Jesus there in their midst, risen from the dead, they went off on a little mind thought of their own, a little drift of wine. So what does this have to do maybe with, gosh, what's going to happen to me when I die? What? And maybe they began to think about heaven and clouds and angels and archangels and they had sort of ideas about at the last day there's going to be a trumpet that the archangel will sound announcing the last day. And if their minds had wandered off the point, in Luke's version of what's going on, Jesus snaps them out of it and gets them to focus. He gets them to focus not on any of that, but on the here and now. It's as if Jesus was saying, the archangel's trumpet is under lock and key. Don't worry about that now. You get out there and proclaim a message here and now. That is now your mission. Repentance leading to the forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in Jesus' name to all the nations. Get on with it. Either this morning or on other occasions, I hope that you do indeed go through some kind of process. And if it's a good process, the language of the scriptures would describe that process in at least three ways. That you are moving from darkness to light. That you are moving from feeling burdened and oppressed to a process whereby your spirits are being set free. You are moving from death and despondency to feeling alive again, to feeling more fully alive, free to live again, free to live for Christ. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, be present with us. Stir us, reawaken us. We ask it in your name. Amen. We sing together hymn 388, Jesus, stand among us in your risen power. Let us pray. Loving God, we confess that sometimes we allow ourselves to fall into a trap induced by the pattern of the way the media cover news stories. A major news item grabs and holds our attention genuinely for a day or two or even three. But such stories are inevitably replaced in our attention by fresh, new news stories. Help us to keep being refreshed and renewed by the news. Christ is risen. Help us to rediscover the energy, power, and grace of that news, which by the power of your Holy Spirit keeps being reborn in the hearts of believers, reawakening hope and giving meaning and purpose to our lives. Loving God, in Christ we give thanks for being alive. In Christ we give thanks for discovering what it is to be fully alive and to live in newness of life. Hear now our prayers of intercession. We pray for peace in all places of conflict. We pray, therefore, for the people in the eastern region of Ukraine, for people of Syria, Iraq, and Yemen. At this time, when in our scripture readings we in our imaginations go to Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for Israelis and Palestinians. Lord, in each of these places of conflict, we pray for those who have fled from their homes and communities, praying for them to have shelter, food, and medical care. Lord, in this country, we give thanks for the privileges and responsibilities of living in a democratic society. Give us wisdom to play our part at election time, that through the exercise of each vote, your kingdom may come closer. Protect us from the sins of despair and cynicism. Guard us against the idols of false utopias. And strengthen us to make politics a noble calling that serves the common good. We pray for all who are unwell. We pray for those who are seriously unwell, whether in hospital or being cared for where they live. Lord, enfold them and those closest to them in your compassion, that they may feel upheld and comforted by your love. May we call to mind that the events which changed life forever in the lives of the followers of Jesus happened in the swiftly moving, brief time between Maundy Thursday and Easter, a time of intense emotion, with every minute of each of those days overfull with drama and anxiety. By your grace, may those who are seriously ill and those who are closest to them be enabled truly to live each day at a time. And we pray for those who are recuperating after a time in hospital, for whom, by contrast, time seems to drag, long stretches of time with little option except to rest and note the slow passing of the hours. Lord, give them wisdom to accept rest. And we pray that each day they may be aware of an increase in strength and physical competence. Creator God, we give thanks that as we live in the Northern Hemisphere, for us, the season of Easter takes place as we see more and more signs of spring, more and different colors, and experience warmer days. Easter stories tell us that whenever your son appeared to his followers, he said to them, "Peace be upon you." Almighty God, by your grace and love, unlock from deep within us wells of compassion we have sealed off, a blossoming of hope, and an assurance that we can experience and be surrounded by your peace. These and all our prayers we offer in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our morning's offerings will now be received. Let us pray. Living God, we bring to you these our gifts and we ask you to accept them. We give thanks that your Son appeared to his disciples at this time and that their lives became new again. We pray that you will guide us in the ways in which we use these gifts and live our lives so that faith in you may be reborn. And love in us for everyone. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing together the hymn 260, Christ is Alive. Let Christians sing.